Tony Broom Ministries now brings you the following sermon entitled Dual Fulfillment. I've always wondered about this noise that I would hear when you stay home and watch the preacher. You hear all that clapping? I wonder where all that clapping came from. They had some folks in there doing that, didn't they?
Yeah.
Well, that's the way it is. It takes people to make a church. Jesus said, if you two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm right there in the midst. I'm there with you.
Amen.
And that's all it takes to have a church. If two or three are gathered together in his name. I'd rather have two or three in his name than 5,000 all in somebody else's name. Sometimes scripture has what we call double reference. Double reference means that it could refer to the present while at the same time prophesying of many years into the remote future. Several passages, a lot of passages in the Bible did that. The psalmist was good for it. Or at least he was well known as a good example of it. And Psalm 22, that's not where our focus is today, but Jesus talked about that. He actually uttered a saying, a prophecy from that, on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That came from Psalm 22. The psalmist poured out his heart to God. All the troubles have come upon me. He said, they pierced my hands and my feet. They cast lots upon my vesture. All the ill treatment, Psalm 22 talked about it. Psalm 68 was a prophecy that they offered me vinegar to drink for my thirst. It looks like that he is describing the very difficult situation and circumstances that he's going through. All of his troubles, the psalmist says, why are you so far from helping me from the words and voice of my roaring? I'm going through all these troubles. Seem like trials are on every hand. And the psalmist cries out to God. And he's talking about the trials and troubles that he's going through. But it also refers to the future, the major application pointing to the tremendous sufferings of Christ. So you have a double reference. It refers to the situation at hand that the writer, the psalmist, is going through. It also refers to many years into the future. It points to Christ. All the Bible, everything points to the Lord.
Amen.
Even the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, he was sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. He wanted to know, is he speaking of himself or of some other person or prophet? And as a result, Philip preached Christ unto him. And he got saved and was baptized. Peter said that the prophets searched diligently, trying to figure out how their message could include both suffering and glory. How in the world they saw the sufferings, this servant who would come, a special servant of God, who would be ill-treated, suffer terrible agony and pain, and then they saw the same one reigning in glory, and they wondered how in the world it could happen. Peter talks about that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 through 12, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. They had to realize, and maybe they did in some respect, in a lot of ways they didn't. They didn't know what the message was all about. Instead of trying to figure out what the message was all about, they just spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They spoke the word of God and let God take care of the results.
Amen.
That's the way we have to do. Instead of trying to figure out what it's all about, just preach the word, do the word, live the word, and let God take care of the results.
Right.
Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So the sufferings of Christ had to come first, and then the glory of God, the glory of Christ, would follow later. And they didn't realize that in this gap where we are right now, and I think we're in the younger side of that gap, the later and latter side of that gap is called the church age. They didn't see the church age. They saw the suffering servant of God, Christ, and they saw the reigning king, the Son of God, Christ, but they didn't see the church age, and it was baffling to them. They couldn't figure out. They realized that there was a message more than what they were talking about in their current present circumstance. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto you they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. If you're going to have any preaching that's going to do any good, you got to have it with, as the scripture said here, the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven.
Amen.
That's what's going to do some good. They preach the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. And these are things that the angels even desire to look into. The angels are praising God and they're worshiping God continually. But they don't know what it is to be lost and to be born again. They don't know what it is to be redeemed. They're created and they praise God, but they don't know what it is to be redeemed. And so even they have a desire to look into all the fascination of God's Word. The prophets prophesied of the grace that should come to us. Thank God for the new covenant. Thank God that we don't have to live under that old covenant of law and condemnation. We have the new covenant of grace and mercy and truth. And that's what the prophets were prophesying to us about. Double reference has dual fulfillment. And that's really our theme, dual fulfillment. There's a double reference with a dual fulfillment. Jesus was handed the prophet Isaiah's book. Can you imagine giving Isaiah the prophet the book of Isaiah to the Son of God? Wow. One Sabbath day in the synagogue in Nazareth of Galilee, Jesus was reading from Isaiah chapter 61. Part of it was fulfilled then, with the other part being reserved to be fulfilled during the tribulation period and the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. From Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, and then Isaiah 61, verses 2 and 3. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. These are the words that he started reading in the synagogue in Galilee that day. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Now the church has got that backwards. We think you got to feel the Holy Ghost before you can be anointed. In fact, we say sometimes, I feel the Spirit of God. I feel the anointing. Here it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Not he has anointed me because the Spirit's upon me. Therefore, you'd have to wait for the Spirit to be upon you to know that you're anointed. But actually, you're anointed whether you feel the Spirit upon you or not. You're always anointed. If you're born again, you're anointed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. And that's what he says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. If you have a broken heart today, the good news is the healer of broken hearts is in the house.
Amen.
And he's here to heal our broken heart. He's here to heal the broken heart of America. He's here to heal the broken hearts in the church. He's here to heal the broken hearts, the derelicts, and those that are bound in drugs and alcohol in prison. He's here to heal the brokenhearted. He can heal cancer, he can heal blindness, he can heal lameness, but he can heal things that you never see. He can heal the brokenhearted.
Amen.
To preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. He preaches deliverance to captives, those who are tied up and tangled up in the webs and whims of this world. He preaches deliverance to the captives. You don't have to wait and go through a 7-step or 12-step. You don't have to wait and go through 5 years of rehabilitation. You can be set free in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. He came to set you free, and he comes to set the captives free. And recovering of sight to the blind. And many times in the Gospels we see him healing the blind. And it's talking about that. It's also talking about, here's a dual fulfillment, double reference, talking about healing those who are blind spiritually. Many people can see physically, but they're blind spiritually. And he's here to open the eyes of the blind, to set at liberty those who are bruised. If you've been bruised and mangled by life, he can set you free. He's a chain breaker.
Amen.
He can loose those chains and set you free. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the time of the preaching of the acceptable year of the Lord. And that word year, but he's not just talking about a 360-day or 365-day year. He's talking about this time period, this time that they didn't know much about, the grace of God living in the time of the church age, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And when Jesus got to that point, he gave the book again to the minister and sat down, and all the eyes of those in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he started telling them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." To have a scripture fulfilled, and the one who is the fulfiller of scripture to be right there in front of you at that moment.
Amen.
To actually fulfill scripture in your presence. What a wonderful thing. "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing." And they wondered at the gracious words that were going out of his mouth. As long as he was talking to them about good things and about fulfilling scripture, and this is the acceptable year of the Lord, they were happy with that. But then he began to preach and teach to them about, there were many in Israel in the time of Elijah, there were many widows, but to none of them was Elijah sent but unto a city of Zarephath. In other words, a Gentile. God wanted to reach his people, but he couldn't, and they rejected him. So he turned to a Gentile to help his prophet. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet. But none of them were cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. By this time, the people that were loving what he was saying, wondering at the gracious words that were coming out of his mouth, now they were stewing. They were mad because he was telling them, "Look, God is blessing the Gentiles because you won't listen to the message of God. I've come to preach the gospel to the poor. I've come to set the captive free. I've come to heal those who are blind. I've come to release those who are bruised. But you won't let me." So God, this acceptable year of the Lord, is reaching out to a church age. It's reaching out to those who will bring forth the fruits of the kingdom. Those who will receive the gospel and the message of eternal life.
Amen.
They're not Jewish descendants. They're not people who you think. Some of them you call Samaritans. Some of them you call half-breeds. Some of them you call mixed racial. Some of them some people don't want to have nothing to do with. But Jesus said, "I love those folks. And I gave my life for them. And I want you to know they're the ones who are to be reached during this acceptable year of the Lord." This is written originally in Isaiah and is fulfilled in Luke chapter 4. In Isaiah chapter 61 verse 2, "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God." Now that's one complete little phrase or clause or sentence. But there's an ocean of time in there. "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord," or as Luke said, "to preach the acceptable year of the Lord and..." But during that comma and that "and," that little blank space in your Bible, you had the whole church age. You could put church age right in there. "To preach the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God." What's that? That's judgment. That's tribulation. Do you wonder, perhaps you've never thought about it, why Jesus didn't read the whole scripture in Isaiah? Why didn't he go through verse 4? Why did he stop at verse 2? Because that part, he said, "This day is a scripture fulfilled in your ears." That part had been fulfilled, but the other part is not fulfilled yet. It is reserved to the tribulation period and the millennial reign of Christ. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord, that's fulfilled. And the other part comes later. After the rapture, the tribulation starts and the day of vengeance of our God. There's coming a judgment on this world. Don't take this in the wrong way, but this world's got hell to pay. The day of vengeance of our God. That's why God says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. I'll take care of things. The day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all that mourn. Why are not everybody who are mourning now comforted? Because it's not fulfilled yet. We have a comforter. That's a good reason to get saved and get right with God, because He'll give you a comforter. He will provide you His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into your life when you're born again, and you are sanctified and filled with Him later, and He comes into your life when you're born again. You have a comforter. And God wants to comfort all that mourn. And He will do that one day. But they've got to go through a lot of trouble first. To comfort all who mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. Notice He's talking about Zion. He's not talking about the church age. He's not talking about now. There's coming a time when those in Zion, those who are there, the generation that's left over, the remnant of Israel, those who are mourning in Zion. You and I are not mourning in Zion. We're rejoicing in Jesus. We're not now sitting around mourning in Zion. It ain't no gloom, despair, and agony on me. If that's the way you feel, gloom, despair, and agony on me, you need to shut off the TV and put on the Bible. Turn your radio on. Let it not be on that blues and country hanking and drinking station either. I'm talking about some gospel stuff. Turn on the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. Appoint unto them that mourn in Zion to give unto them beauty for ashes. What kind of ashes are we talking about? Well, the world's in wreck. And if you think it's bad now, you just wait till then. Tribulation. Israel. Israel right now is under pandemic again. They're locked down again. But that's nothing compared to what they've got to go through during what is called Jacob's trouble. And they've got a whole lot of trouble to face. You say, well, why is it so bad on them? Because they stood up in Pilate's judgment hall and they said, let his blood be on us and on our children. And it is right now today. And they ain't seen the worst of it yet. But God said, I will give them beauty for their ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Don't go around here with a spirit of heaviness. Take off that spirit of heaviness and put on the coat of praise. Put on the garment of praise. The garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. The fulfilling of all Scripture, dual fulfillment. He fulfilled the part now, and He'll fulfill the part later. Just as sure as He fulfilled what's already fulfilled, you better believe it, He is going to fulfill the other part. Amen. And God will be glorified. As long as God is glorified, that's what's important. Amen. Who would have ever thought this dual fulfillment would have included both Israel and the church? They try to make it one or the other. God either loves Israel or He loves the church. He loves all of it. He loves everybody. He's dealing with the church now. He's not dealing with Israel as a nation. He's dealing with them individually. But when the church age is over, Israel, He will turn to His people again. And thank God, one of these days, they'll come to their Messiah, who they rejected. They'll come to Him again. But who would have ever thought that this dual fulfillment would have included both Israel and the church? Jew and Gentile, red and yellow, black and white. We're all precious in His sight. Amen. And finally will come the end. That's what a lot of people wait on when the preacher preaches. finally will come the end. Praise God. And he says, and finally, and then after 10 minutes, he'll say, and finally again. Finally will come the end when he will have delivered up the kingdom to God, and he himself as the Son will be subject to the Father, that God may be all in all. See 1 Corinthians chapter 15 for that. It talks about the Son of God coming to the Father, as it were, and say, Father, here it is. Here's the kingdom. Here's what you wanted. We all the redeemed from every generation, every kindred, nation, tribe, and tongue, who have been made kings and priests unto our God, will be there in heaven with the Lord forever. He then, as well as now, is a total fulfillment of all Scripture. Dual fulfillment. Isaiah's prophecy speaks to us from Luke chapter 4 and Isaiah chapter 61. It's all God's word, and it will be fulfilled. Jesus is a fulfillment of all prophecy.
Amen.
He is the fulfillment of all Scripture. All of it points to him. Abraham's covenant, tabernacle in the wilderness, all the psalm worship, everything points to him. The Gospels are about him. The Acts of the Apostles are about him. The epistles about him. The book of the Revelation, the unveiling of the Christ, it's all about him. Jesus is all in all. And I know he's all to you. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to love Jesus. I pray, Lord, right now that you would touch the heart of everyone. Touch the heart of everyone in this place. Touch the heart of everyone who will hear this message. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to realize that Christ is the focus of all Scripture. He's the center of the Godhead. He's the center of heaven, the center of the universe. Help us to focus on him, to love him, to praise him, and to serve him, and to give all glory and praise and honor to him. Lord, I pray that many would come to you for salvation. Many would come and be born again. In Jesus' name, amen. You have been listening to a sermon entitled Dual Fulfillment. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know Him as your Lord today. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.